Hello and welcome to Word Cafe. My name is Felix Mwinde. The title of my message today is COVID-19 Christian Update, the blood application. The world is writhing in pain under the impact of a pandemic. Every day we wake up to the news of new COVID cases and others succumb to the virus. But today I have come with good news for all of you that profess the name of Jesus. And if you are not a believer, it is my hope and prayer that after you listen to this, you will receive faith to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. It's been mentioned that another wave of COVID-19 has struck. But let me remind you, child of God, that it is not the first time that Jesus has dealt with waves. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27, Jesus rebuked the unruly waves and calmness was restored. We call pandemics, tsunamis, earthquakes and the like natural disasters, but I would like you to know that no matter how fierce it may look, it must listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus. The disciples cried out, "We are perishing." And Jesus woke up from his nap, not shaken by the events and circumstances. Our God is not shaken by the waves of the oceans. He is not scared of the virus either. I know that COVID-19 has cast fear and intimidation to many, but I hear Jesus ask even now, as in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" God is calling the men and women of faith to fight. There are many unseen waves that drown the nations, communities, and families. But in the authority of Christ, let's command every storm to be stilled in Jesus' name. Let faith arise amongst the people of God in Jesus' name. I love the Bible because it tells me that if I don't have faith, I can get it. So don't worry. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Even now as I speak, faith is coming to you. There is too much noise in our world. The hearts of many are troubled and distracted. The voice of media, the voice of the news has become more prominent than the voice of God. And our hearts are filled with these things because what you listen to turns to faith. And that's why the Bible tells us that as we keep listening to the word of God, we receive faith. Whatever you're feeding every single day, that is where your faith will come in. And there is so much trouble and our hearts are distracted. We are unable even to come to God in that place of faith and ask something from Him and even listen to God. It has become a challenge. I have seen Christians unable to pray without the aid of music because, like Saul the king, their hearts need to be calmed by the effect of music first before they can pray. But I want to challenge us today to shut out every noise that is coming to our hearts. We need focus to speak to God and hear His voice. Look for a quiet and private time in your day, away from media and worldly obligation. Call on God, pray to Him, and because He's a relational God, He is a Father, a Comforter, a Friend, let Him speak to you. Read from the scriptures and meditate every day until your spiritual ears are sharpened to the shepherd's voice. Jesus says, "My sheep, they hear my voice." A time has come and a time is now when we must seek after God's remedy. There is a time when circumstances have brought us to our knees. The problems we are facing have outwitted the best, the scientists, and all those people in the health sector. But like the Israelites in the desert, let us look up to God's remedy. I will refer to two incidences that the Israelites were faced with and relate to our problem with COVID-19. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 4 to 7, a pandemic was about to hit Egypt like never has been before. It is actually recorded in verse 6 that the cry that was in that country never was and never will be like it again. Oh my. There was death in every house of Egyptians. But God had a remedy for his people. They were to smear the blood of a lamb on their doorposts. This simple act of faith caused the angel of death to pass over the Israelites' home and strike in the Egyptians' home next door. The other incident is that of snake bites in the desert. I can imagine the pain, the anguish, the scare. But God's remedy was simple. Moses put up a bronze snake on a pole, and the act of faith of turning their eyes from the painful wounds and snakes, then looking up to that bronze, got them healed. The remedy in both of these instances are a type of Jesus' work on Calvary. And this is how we see Jesus even in the Old Testament. Because God was preparing his people mentally for the coming of a Savior so that God can deliver the ultimate remedy for the human problems. Just like the blood of the lamb that was slain to save Israelite families from the angel of death, so did Jesus, the Lamb of God, shed his blood to save you and your family. Just as the bronze snake was lifted up in the desert, so was Jesus lifted up, that we will no longer look down on our impossible situation, but look up to Jesus. God's remedy for the hurting situation of man is Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God has addressed the root problem of man. What we see on the surface is a pandemic, or whatever problem or challenge you are facing. But the root problem of sickness is corruption, and the root of corruption is sin. It is not a coincidence that the challenges experienced by Egyptians and Israelites are both related to disobedience, and they both resulted to sickness and death. In Exodus 15:26, God reveals himself to the Israelites as their healer, Jehovah Rapha. The condition was to listen carefully and to do what is right in God's eyes. The word of God is tied to the well-being of our physical bodies. And sometimes we look at the Bible and see that, oh, this must be a very spiritual book. I don't know how it addresses my physical problems. Oh, please follow closely. The Lord said, I am the Lord that heals you. He is not talking about spiritual things here. He is talking about your physical body. I will heal you. The condition is, listen carefully. If you're still not convinced, let me read for you Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 20 to 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22 is what I want us to capture. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Some version says, they are healing. They are medicine to all their flesh. What is this that brings health to all the flesh? The words of God. The words of God are precious. As you look closely at God's word, may it start to transform your life. May it start to heal you. Take it like medicine. My brother, my sister, this is God's remedy, and it works. The Lord's remedy has worked in my life. In my few years on earth, I have not been admitted in hospital, And I am one of those people who don't take health for granted, because I have seen close family members suffer in sickness and even die. So I don't take health lightly. When I see that I'm healthy, when I see that I'm strong and walking around, I know that it is the work of God in my life. I know that the word of God that I imbibed, that I took into my heart and into my spirit, has affected my physical body to remain healthy. The Lord is gracious. He has been gracious to me, and may He be gracious to you. All that it takes is obedience. Turn to the word of God. Let the word of God mean so much to you, more than anything else. There are those voices that call on us and we turn our heads. But I would like to pose this question. Do you turn your head when the Lord calls? Are you able to hear the Lord speaking to you? Because the Bible is so practical and down to earth. It addresses our very situation. Whatever situation that you are going through, it seems hard, it seems impossible, it seems painful. Listen in closely. The Lord is already speaking about it. It is all in His word, and that is how we find healing. The root of sin and disobedience traces back to the first human beings, Adam and Eve. When we sin, we think that, oh, it's about getting God angry. But the sad matter of the fact is that when we sin, we deny God the glory of His creation. We deny God that opportunity to manifest His glory. As a result, the whole creation has been cast to disorder by the disobedience of man. There was perfect order at Eden, but it collapsed in the event of Adam and Eve's disobedience. Romans chapter 8 verse 22 tells us that the whole creation is groaning as in the pain of childbirth. Verse 21 tells us that the creation is under the bondage of decay. Decay is corruption. And as I've already mentioned, the process started long ago in the event of Adam and Eve's disobedience. The state of corruption cannot be stopped. And this is where I want us to understand very carefully that there's a remedy that God is giving us right now, right at this moment. But there's also another remedy that God is working for us in the future. And we have to look at both full of faith and hope, because the state of corruption cannot be stopped. This is not to be pessimistic, but it is to be realistic. Like a beautiful apple which you would want to store to eat, maybe after a year. Oh, it looks very sweet and beautiful. And you say, this one, I have to store it, next year, I will take it and eat. You could keep it in the fridge. It will only delay the process of corruption, but it will eventually decay. And that is why Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, that we of the Spirit groan inwardly for the redemption of our bodies. So that our bodies are taken back to the original condition, to the state of Adam and Eve before the fall, before the world was thrown into disorder. I am sure that in that time before the fall, mosquito was harmless creature. Viruses and all those things that could harm a human being might not have existed. A lion could not have eaten you in the jungle, but the whole creation is groaning. And we of the Spirit are also groaning inwardly for the redemption. And this redemption of our bodies is due to us in the second coming of Christ, if we continue in the hope of His coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 52 to 53. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and mortal must put on immortality. This is God's ultimate remedy to destroy corruption, sickness, and death. And while we keep our eyes fixed on this blessed hope of Christ's return, let's look at the future of God's people and also the future of Satan. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They, the church, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When the devil appears to be winning, you could remind him of this mighty prophetic word, because it shall surely come to pass. An ultimate victory is coming. I understand this scripture to mean that the more God's people testify about what the blood of Jesus has done for them, the more Satan's kingdom comes crumbling down. Remember, this blood is what made the angel of death to stay away from the Israelites' home. Oh, the blood is powerful. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, that there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And that is why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that Abel was able to offer an acceptable sacrifice because he poured blood. He agreed to the fact that a life had to go, a life had to be poured out for his sake. He was looking at the Lamb of God that was to come in the future. He received by faith what he did not know, but Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God. By the shedding of blood, the sacrifice of Cain was rejected. And let us remember that the sacrifice of Cain was offered from the cursed ground, from this ground that is also groaning to be brought back to the original state before the fall of man. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Praise the Lord that our blood does not have to be shed for our sins. It cost Jesus on the cross to give us life through his shed blood. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. It is just mesmerizing, brethren, to think of the salvation we have been given through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Yet we may ask, if the blood of Jesus is so powerful, why so much pain, hurt, sickness, and death? But I want to remind you that the blood of a lamb was not of use to the Israelites when it was still in the bucket. They had to take it and apply it on their doorposts, and that spared their lives. I'll give another example. The existence of soap does not guarantee cleanness. If you don't take it up and wash, you will not be clean. I am now calling all those that are listening to me now to look up to Jesus, God's remedy for our problems. How do we apply the blood of Jesus? I take us back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We testify of what the blood of Jesus has done for us. This is a fivefold work of the blood of Jesus. And I will go through it very fast. I will give the verses. Please write them down and study them at your own time. The first one is forgiveness and redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. The third work of the blood of Jesus is to justify us. We have justification through the blood of Jesus. Romans chapter 5 verse 9. The fourth, we have sanctification. We are sanctified. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 10. The fifth one, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. We have been cleansed. the blood of Jesus has cleansed us. Capture these words and say them aloud to yourself or to another person. Through the blood of Jesus, I am forgiven from all my sins. I am redeemed back to God. I am justified, just as if I never sinned. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am set apart. I am cleansed from the filth of my sin. Wow, what a beautiful confession. The devil might appear to come at us with so much power and strength, but he has no authority to go beyond where he has been allowed. In other words, he needs a legal ground to press charges against you or your family. He is the accuser of brethren. As long as the devil can keep you guilty, then he has won over you, and this places you in the way of destruction. But let us arise and claim the benefits that are in the blood of Jesus over our lives and that of our family members. Because in the blood of Jesus, the enemy has no permission to touch your body. He has no permission to touch your life. Jesus does not want us to be guilty but repentant, that he may arise and act on our behalf. I pray that as you turn to God's remedy, Jesus Christ, and obey him, the angel of death will not come near your home. The beauty of the cleansing and justification of Jesus' blood is that you receive authority to stand against the plans of the enemy and uproot them wherever they may be. When we testify of the blood of Jesus, we render the enemy powerless, because even the enemy stands before the Lord God Almighty, the righteous judge. Even Satan stands before God. We see in the book of Job, Satan seeking permission to strike Job with diseases. And he went to God with accusations. Oh, this guy, he loves you because you have blessed him. But let me tell you, while you are under the blood of Jesus, you are acquitted. Those places that the enemy has a right to press charges against you, and then your life will be tortured by sickness and by other problems, the blood of Jesus is right there to cleanse you, to forgive you, to justify you, to sanctify you, and to redeem you. God is ready to forgive you and to cover you from all attack of the enemy. And that provision has been made through the blood of Jesus. I want you to know that God is merciful and his remedy is right here, what you are talking about right now. Let us not take lightly the power of forgiveness. We need forgiveness from God. At that very moment when we think that we don't need forgiveness, it is at that very moment when the accuser, when the enemy arises to prosecute you before God. If Satan could find a valid reason to strike the most righteous man on earth in his time, Job, then he certainly can find a reason to accuse you. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12, I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. It is not that God has a short memory, but it is because God has the power to forget, to erase the memory of your sin. We are forgiven. May the blood of Jesus cover his people. Let's pray, beloved. Lord, we thank you for your word. May my listener find strength that comes from the bread of life. I pray that the chains of unbelief be broken in Jesus' name. The spirit of fear, I command you to leave this child of God in Jesus' name. The spirit of intimidation, leave the children of God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, may you cause us to arise in a new strength to testify of your saving grace. We release ourselves from the bondage of COVID-19. We release the nations of the earth from the power of darkness. We speak the blood of Jesus over the people of God, over all the earth. We arise in the power that is given to us in Christ Jesus when he set us to rule with him in the heavenly realms. We command the wave of the pandemic to be stilled in the name of Jesus. The word of God says in Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you shall set a standard against him. Our standard is the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a safe tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. Oh my God. According to your word in Psalms chapter 20 and verse 5, may we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all our requests. We lift up the name of Jesus as a banner of victory against COVID-19. Jesus, you are King, you are mighty, you are higher than all. Let everything bow at your feet. We thank you, Jesus, for your victory. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us and giving us victory through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for enabling us to feed from God's word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It is time to look up to God for the remedy. Things might appear all dark and gloomy, but God is still on the throne, and he has provided an answer for these dark times. Let us cry out to God in faith, call on his name, and you will be saved. May the shalom of God be with you. Sharing God's word with you is Felix Muinde, a beneficiary of the grace of God. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.